KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that that introduction and the fantastic work of Alec Medford in AM on the FM. I do have to go back to the very beginning of the show when we played the chocolate milk drop. And I got a text from Peyton that said that was my clip. I demand credit for it.
Oh.
Do you guys still have, are y'all still feuding? Is this just a constant thing between the two of you?
I don't know at this point, honestly. It's like some days he's nice, and then some days he's like, ha ha, you gotta work. I'm going home. You suck.
I get
you know?
That.
So yeah. Sometimes it's cordial, and then sometimes he sends me very mean spirited texts.
Okay. All right. And it's kind of the same with me and Peyton as well. Sometimes very friendly stuff. Sometimes he'll send me a picture of Ed Werder or Ed Werder's number. And he's
you know what that makes.
So yeah, so that's going on there. Also we
really
will be
talking hard hitting question. I had to make sure to get in that presser there.
We will be talking with Do we need to revisit that at some point?
Yep.
All right. So during COVID, when we were working all over the place, the season had ended for the Cowboys pretty miserably. It was a bad season with Mike McCarthy's first year. And we were debating whether or not Jerry was going to come on our station and talk with us. He did essentially announce, hey, I'm going to go on, talk with the KNC Masterpiece. At which point, Ed Werder made a tweet that was like, of course Jerry would go on the flagship station of the Cowboys so that he can control, basically like, so he can control everything and nobody's going to ask any hard questions. And I was like, what are you talking about? Are you like, you're questioning my integrity here and my, like my job. And you're saying I can't do it as good as you who get to talk to him all the time too. Y'all have, I have this question. If I go in and just destroy Jerry, what does it do? What does it change? What does he change?
Yeah, nothing. I feel like we've done that a couple times and nothing has changed.
And that gets frustrating. Yeah. Like I can try to do it to accommodate the seven or eight people that are like, you never ask hard questions. And I'm like, I've asked good questions a lot of times. But what's it's not going to change him. It's not going to change his mind, his approach or anything. It hasn't yet.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that kind of gets frustrating. But Ed Werder said that, and I went on a rant. I went on a bit of a rant from my home studio, at which point I called him a name, or I said, that makes you
a D.
Uh-huh. And Mike, I remember seeing Mike's face and Kevin's face and Reggie's face, and they were all just like, oh, my gosh. And Reggie kind of had this moment of, I'm going to dump that. And then he was like, screw that. Let that ride. And
I'm glad that he did.
And the boss was like, hey, let's not do that too often, please. But, you know, so because I didn't like the fact that you would question Sean's integrity, Kevin's integrity,
right.
any of the guys that work at the station. I just didn't like that. And so I felt like that was, I was frustrated in the moment. So now it lives in infamy and Peyton will never let it go. And I kind of appreciate that about it.
You know what that makes you? That makes you a D.
And you know what? We kind of hope that they'll, you know, make some good transitions for this season.
Yeah.
As this wasn't the season that Brian Schottenheimer definitely wanted to start off as his first one. He's now a losing coach. And you don't want to start your career as a losing coach. You'd love to start hot and stay hot for the rest of your life.
Right.
But they got work to do to turn it around. One of the first things they have to do is get the identity mindset of what this defense is going to actually be. And I think the identity of the defense starts directly in the middle of this defense. Those two guys in the middle and up front, Kenny Clark, Quinnen Williams, that group in the middle is where it starts. But you need a linebacker that is the attitude of your defense. Kevin, somebody suggested this moments ago and said, I'd hire Ray Lewis. Kevin would disagree, but I would hire Ray Lewis. I know Ray Lewis does a lot of song and dance.
The football mentality of Ray Lewis is great.
He does a lot of dance, right? And he does a lot of like, oh, yeah, and crime and all that stuff. But you're right. When it comes to football, run hard, hit hard, leave nothing else. Leave nothing else. No stone unturned. You make sure that they remember. the night they played the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality that I need, that I want to see. And it's going to take a player. It can't just be a coach that's asking you to do it. It's going to take players that are showing his teammates, this is how we do it. The other part of it is, do you want to be a team that's a ball-hawking team? And that's what they do, but they give up run. They give up pass rush because they're seeking ball. Cowboys, whenever Dan Quinn's team was at its best, their attitude was, we are going to pass rush to create mistakes for the secondary. Al Harris, your job is to make sure these guys are running routes with the receivers so that they can create, that when that ball's up in the air, just kind of floating, because they really didn't have a good direction because one of our pass rushers was all over him, then that's whenever you guys take advantage of tip drills and stuff like that. If that's what you want, I'm sure that there is a way to acquire that kind of talent. Steven said it earlier. He thinks back-end secondary is where they need most of their investment this year. I think that when it comes to attitude, you got to find a dude who trusts himself, leads from the middle of this defense, and then you build and add some secondary as well. Now, I know a lot of people are like, pass rush, what about edge? Yeah, I think you're probably, I'm hoping that they look in that with those first round picks, they're looking to try and get an edge rusher with that too.
And I'm still kind of nervous just because when they talk about all of the positive reasons that people should come here, especially defensively, they mentioned DeMarvion Overshown again. I hope that is the case. I am nervous still about that.
Somebody said, did he ever respond to you? Ed and I did talk about it at a training camp one year. And he said, he was like, huh, all right. Well, I won't go into the rest of the things.
That's probably smart.
But yeah, what do you want as far as identity, or not identity, attitude of this defense? Ray Lewis is the perfect attitude for me.
So, and like, I've heard this talk a lot. Maybe I'm on my own on this. I don't really care what their identity is outside of they have talent and are playing hard. Like, I don't need this to be the defense where you're like, you can't possibly run on them, or it's going to be a struggle all day. Like, I don't even need it to be the defense that puts on the big hits. I want it to be the defense that is fundamentally sound. So you know what? I changed my mind in the middle of my own answer. I want our identity to be fundamentally sound, because I think that can make up for so many gaps on talent. Not all the gaps by any means, but you can make up a lot of ground on, oh man, I didn't see a whole lot of big hits, but man, I saw a lot of form tackles, especially in open space.
And you know what? I'll the next level of that is speed.
Yeah.
Dude, you saw Jack Sanborn couldn't keep up. Like, I was told, you're going to love this guy. And I did love him. And then I saw him try and chase people, and I was like, oh, yeah. No, that's not good.
That's the thing. He can be fundamentally sound all he wants if he can't ever get to that player.
Yes, exactly.
So I understand.
Speed gets you to the fundamental, like, you're in position to make that play because of speed. Now what do you do from that? Now the speed and physicality part, those are two things that I'm going into that scouting room, and I'm telling Broadus and all of them, find me fast, find me physical. Those two things, I can work everything. I can figure everything else out from there. But fast and physical, you can't be a dumb guy. You can, I guess.
Right.
If all I got to do is tell you to go after this, that's fine. But if you're a linebacker, I need you to be fast, physical, and I need you to know why you're doing what you're doing.
And look, I just saw somebody send in this name, and I hear you. I would love it too. Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs might have the highest floor of any player that is going to be in this NFL draft. I just don't think you're going to be in a position to be able to get him unless you're willing to package up those number ones to move up the board. And considering all the holes you have on this team, I don't see that happening.
Jacob Rodriguez is a name that pops up a lot too, because Tech, it's local. We like, the dude's a badass.
Sure.
He was a playmaker too. I'm very interested to continue watching this crop that's going to be coming out here shortly, diving in on that and seeing where they all stand. But these names, I like these names that y'all are throwing out there. Keep throwing those out. What exactly do you want from your defense? But also, guys, it wouldn't be the C block if there weren't some crazy stories. Let's go to Mexico.
Oh, I've been there.
Good for you, buddy. I'm proud of you, man. Over 450 bags containing human remains have been discovered near Akron Stadium in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico. This stadium is confirmed as one of the venues for the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
Oh, no!
With less than 200 days before the start of the World Cup in North America. That's less than 200, Kevin.
Are we digging up a burial ground for this?
According to recent reports, search groups in the state of Jalisco have found hundreds of bags containing human remains, one of the country's most prominent soccer teams, home of Chivas de Guadalajara. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
A member of them said a volunteer search collective said most recent discovery took place in September 22. At least 456 bags with human remains had been discovered in that area, and that is that site that is set to be. And there evidently, Kevin, more are popping up, even more. And now you ask the question, the government cares more about money, not citizens. They even remove our missing persons posters so visitors do not notice the magnitude of the problem.
So how many bags did you say? Like 250 bags of people or something like that?
200 days, 456 bags.
Oh, okay, so even more. And you can't tell me they found 456 bags of people and they're like, but don't worry, that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
No! I'm not here to hear that. You can't tell me they're probably not going to find more bags of people. I think maybe we should consider not playing at that stadium.
Quote, they announced that the work is almost finished, but it is not true.
Stop. That's what you think. I just told you. All right. We're going to go.
They want to speed everything up so that when the World Cup arrives, everybody looks normal.
No. You tell me you're going to go over to Alex's house. And you're like, oh, yeah, Alec, we're going to come over on Friday night. And he's like, oh, great. You know, three of the last four Friday nights, somebody on my block has gotten murdered. Like, I'm not going to go, okay, but probably not this Friday night.
I'm going to be like,
hey, Alec, I'm not coming over anymore. Feels like the same thing. Well, we're almost done. Almost done digging up bags of people.
Now, the other thing is, I don't know if that 456 bags is like one person per bag.
It's alarming either way. If you told me they only found a guy's arm in a bag, I'm still alarmed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unlike that guy, who is not all armed.
I don't know if he did that on purpose
because
or if he stumbled into that.
Because he got his arm.
But I'm pretty proud of you.
Probably the second one.
Also, Kevin, I haven't done this. Jerry told us that Pickens and Quinnen Williams could not be here if Mike was here. I'll leave that for you for later, but that is not true.
Lies!
That was the first thing Kevin said whenever he said it. He was like, that is not true.
That is one of the arguments Jerry and I got into last year was when he goes, well, if you want to sign those people, it's going to cost money. And my retort was, but when you sign them to long-term deals, isn't it easier to lower that initial cap number, thus making it cheaper than it would have been on the franchise tag? He disagreed with that, and he's wrong. I'll say this flat out. He can call in. We can have a discussion about it. That is not true. We created $70 million in salary cap space. If you want to sign George Pickens to a long-term deal, you can get that done with a starting number of $18 million. If you wanted to sign Micah to that exact same contract that he got with the Green Bay Packers, I'll look up the specific number, but I'm willing to bet that you can make that happen. But let's do some simple math. 70 minus 18. Okay, well now we're only down to 52.
52.
Oh, you couldn't possibly have Quinnen Williams here. All right, well, Quinnen Williams' contract next year is $21 million. Oh no. So now we're only down to $31 million. Guess what Micah Parsons' cap hit is next year? $19 million. I just got you all three of those players, no problem, at the current rate or going rate, and I still got $12 million to spare for our draft picks and whatnot. Plus, you can do other things and manipulate it. The reason why he
had to trade Micah to get Quinnen.
Okay, well, that's fair. That I will concede. But when he says,
I wonder if that's the technicality he's riding on
but
there.
But when he says they couldn't re-sign George Pickens, that's not true. That is not true, or the Cowboys don't understand how the salary cap works, both of which are concerning outcomes. What they're saying is, do you know what our cap hit would be in 2029? Who gives a crap? The Eagles do that all the time. If you win, you'll be fine.
And lastly, Kevin, I'm going to take a little bit of time here. This is a post Some games you'll remember for the rest of your life. On paper, this one didn't make sense. Shorthanded by 7 players, no starters available, with lineup made almost entirely of guys who began their careers in the G League, we were on a road against the top team in the Eastern Conference with multiple NBA stars. Everything about it was unlikely, including my defensive matchup against a near 300-pound center. But nights like this remind you what teams are really built on. Effort carries, belief compounds, and when everyone commits to the same goal, logic stops mattering. That is Spencer Keith Jones, who posted that on LinkedIn. LinkedIn. Spencer Jones is committed to having the most engagements on LinkedIn the world has ever seen. Because now, Kevin, Twitter, be damned. Players Tribune, nobody needs that. Facebook, what? LinkedIn is the place where you go update your resume after a game where you beat a team that nobody thought you should have.
How much idle chit-chat, do you guys have any idea, happens on LinkedIn? Like, because I know...
I don't know my login. I know okay. I know I have a LinkedIn, and I've been seen. I get emails all the time. They're like, 10 people looked at your profile. And I'm like, I haven't changed it in 10 years.
But you notice that they're looking.
Because the email shows up.
Okay.
I mean, it's in my junk, but, you know.
What?
Junk email. The junk folder. They're not looking at my...
Coke cans.
We're the KNC masterpiece. Just wanted you to sit with that for a while. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little NFL overreaction or reality? We might try to squeeze some baseball in as well. Next on The Fan.
At the Dallas 21, play action. Dart rolling right. Clowney chasing. Clowney diving. Clowney got him. That's going to be sack number 3 for Jadeveon Clowney, and he's got a fumble recovery.
Wow. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to some football NFL overreaction in just a minute, but I got a couple of more baseball notes for you. We talked about some of the moves the Cubs are trying to make. Keep an eye out on the Toronto Blue Jays, who have reportedly intensified their pursuit of Kyle Tucker. So there is something that you need to keep an eye out on. But I mentioned earlier in the show, the Cubs were interested in Bo Bichette, Alex Bregman. They have, or are at least nearing, a trade for Edward Cabrera, the flamethrower from Miami. I don't think it's officially done just quite yet, but looks like it's almost done. We'll send him to the north side, and he is under team control for the next 3 seasons. So the Cubs are looking to make some moves both on the trade front and on the free agent market. See, Cowboys, it's okay if you go ahead and try to do both.
We're at 150 strikeouts and 137 innings this year.
Pretty impressive.
Except.
Indeed. Except he'll be on the Cubs, not our team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if I'm a Cubs fan.
And then one more note for you. Did you see, and the description of why this happened is amazing. Did you see that the A's have been denied the trademark for the Las Vegas Athletics and the Vegas Athletics? And so I was reading. Go ahead.
I need to know. I have to know why.
Okay.
Like, I saw this and I was like, it feels like justice has been served to the organization for just stripping Oakland of their team and putting them in the middle of Sacramento in a minor league park. Like, all this justice. But I need to know more why.
So the reason is, essentially, their mascot is too vague, because the patent office, the patent and trademark office, said that the Athletics was, quote, too generic and could be confused with other activities of an athletic nature, even if associated with Las Vegas. So their issue is not anything else except for, well, there's lots of athletic things in Las Vegas. This could be confusing to other places. Now, there was a patent attorney who was like, technically, they are correct, and I see their point. However, this is something that gets passed through all of the time, and major sports associations like Major League Baseball, they very rarely have an issue with this. But in case you were wondering why, at least initially, the patent and trademark office rejected that, is because they're like, well, athletics can be a lot of things.
I wonder. Like, you're thinking that it's going to get passed through eventually.
I do think that.
What if they hold strong on this of, look, guys, we are not letting up. And the A's have to change their name.
That would be objectively hilarious.
Like, I don't know exactly what you go with if you're in Las Vegas and you're playing baseball.
Yeah.
And they're not in Las Vegas yet anyway, so they still got a ways to go here. But what if they force them? Would you hate to see the A's, like, now, you know what, guys, since we've changed the name, changing the uniforms too.
See, but don't you think a lot of A's fans, maybe they'll keep supporting them, but there's probably some that are like, yeah, it's not the same team. You took my team. Screw you.
Yeah, I want to keep the A's name here in Oakland whenever we get a new team.
Yes!
And the MLB's like, y'all are never get a new team.
That is
We're not going to do that, sorry.
That is
y'all barely showed up for the old crappy team y'all had because your crappy owner and crappy GM couldn't put a good product out on the field or put a good field and stadium together there.
Well, you know what, Corey? You make a lot of good points right there. All right, let's fire up some NFL overreaction or reality. And I'm going to do this first question based off of something that somebody texted in off the presser. So a couple of these are starting off the presser. And Steven said they want Javonte back. They're looking to give him a multi-year deal. And somebody texted in and said, mistake, he slowed down as the season went along and toward the end of the season. Now, we had done a breakdown for this a few games ago, but I wanted to point out just the end of the season. So first 11 games versus the last five.
Okay.
First 11 games, Javonte Williams averaged 4.95 carries per yards per carry.
Okay.
Last five games, 4.3 yards per carry. Now, the touchdown drop-off wasn't as bad at all because he had 8 touchdowns in 11 games versus 3 touchdowns in 5 games. And I have an issue with that. That's proportionate enough for me. But what do you think about a drop from 4.95 yards per carry to 4.3 yards per carry? Does that concern you when it comes to the idea of giving him a multi-year deal?
Y'all probably went a lot deeper into this conversation, but there was two games early in that stretch where he averaged 8.4 and 7.6. Mm. That elevated his numbers, right?
For sure.
Because then against Carolina, it was 2.2.
See, but
so
like,
it does kind of bring the balance back.
And that's why you need to look up at the whole picture.
He seemed more consistent in what you're talking about, 4.3. He seemed more consistently around 4.3 late in the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm okay with, honestly, because early in the season, you have fresh legs. Late in the season, you're going to be a little more. I want to see more running backs, what their numbers are late in the season. Did y'all do that?
Yeah.
And most of them were better? Most of them were in the fives?
Not necessarily better, but they didn't take that much of a dive. And I think that's the concern, is now you're talking about a drop of, I don't know, like 13%, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, I told you early on in the season that I was concerned about it. I think we were probably, I think it was right around the Jets game. I was like, great game, but I'm a little bit concerned about that. I think you need to have a better backup. This league, you have to have a good backup to go along with it. That's just my thought. Somebody that can spell the player in those times, and I didn't feel like you... I feel like actually with Malik Davis you had, but you didn't have opportunities you really would have liked to use him because you did start throwing the ball a lot.
And that's the tricky part of it. Do you think, man, especially considering he blocks well, we can build off of this. This has been his longest run in a while. Or do you say, man, maybe he is going to slow down in these seasons. Thank you very much for your service. I hope we helped got you paid somewhere else.
I think over the next 3 years, I think you can get a 1,200-yard and 11-touchdown rusher every year.
Out of him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
well, then I would sign him.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I feel like you can get that out of him for the next 3 years, if healthy.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people seem to be concerned about the health because of the knee injury he had.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll let them do that work, but they saw what they liked. I also think that the work that he did do as a pass blocker was good.
Yeah,
that was quality stuff, too.
I think everyone would agree with that.
I'm in on signing him back. I think he has the right attitude for this thing, too.
Sure.
So there's a lot of qualities that
I like.
He
wants to be here.
Yeah, and I think he'll put in the work to make sure that he's ready for it, ready for a full season again.
NFL overreaction to reality. The New England Patriots record is fraudulent. Do you know that the New York Giants this year had more wins over teams with a record above 500, two, than the Patriots did, one?
What? Are you serious? So the Patriots had just an easy bum schedule?
Their schedule's very soft.
And the Giants had the toughest one.
Well, yeah. They were going to lose either way. But.
Wow.
If you look at the teams that finished the record over 500, they got the win over the Bills, right?
Look at this.
And then, That's it. Overreaction to reality. The New England Patriots record is fraudulent. And I know the playoffs will bear this out, but, you know.
I'm going to say overreaction.
Okay.
But, man, that's a really damning statistic you got right there.
Alec, what say you?
It's an overreaction. I still love Mike Vrabel coach teams. I still think Drake May is freaking incredible. I understand, and like Corey said, very concerning stat. Very concerning.
And but both things can be true. They can still be good.
Yes, they pass the eye test to me. They do. I know the stats and the strength of schedule is gross, but I think they just win. Google them.
All right.
Kevin, hold on. Who has the most, do we know that number yet?
I do not know that. All right.
The most wins over above 500 teams is what I got to go find now.
I do not know that, but I will
be
intrigued.
Dude, their schedule sucks.
I told you. All right. Overreaction reality. We're going to go back to the eye test here that Alec just mentioned. The Seattle Seahawks defense is good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Reality. Their quarterback, I have questions about.
That's fair. Alec?
Yeah, that's a reality.
I'm going to ask you that question. Is the Seattle defense good enough to win the Super Bowl? Bonus question. The Seahawks are the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
That is a reality than an overreaction.
Okay, because Vegas right now has the Seahawks as a slight overall favorite ahead of the Rams, which feels wrong.
It does feel wrong, and I would still take the Rams just because I do think they have the quarterback advantage. I think their defenses are not far off, if we're being totally honest. I think it's just because the Rams' defense, they bend, but they don't break. There's been a lot of teams in the league this year, some of these playoff teams specifically, too, that give up yards, but they don't give up points. You know, like I think about the San Francisco defense outside of a couple games. You know, there's a lot of teams that have made that work. So it's like everything in between the end zone, sure, go for it. But yeah, that's how I think of Seattle. That's how I think of the Rams. I think of them both. Like they'll get you a timely turnover. And they won't allow many points, but I would say the Rams are probably the favorite because they got the better quarterback.
You just think about the Ravens real quick.
They didn't make it.
Mike McDonald's the head coach of Seattle right now.
Yep. What do you mean right now? Just did a really good job. Yeah.
Right, but think about this. Like the year he left, they were considering moving on from Harbaugh at that time to go with McDonald. And that defense, since he has left, has just fallen apart. You think they got to be looking at over there in Seattle and just kicking themselves in the D every time. What did we do letting that guy go?
You're doing better. You're doing better.
No, the Ravens. Oh, the Ravens are not doing better. No. They are doing far worse. No, they got to go find a coach.
Overreaction.
But at least the Cowboys don't have to find a coach, Kevin. They have that in place. They have that in a quarterback.
That might
have
been the most breathtaking moment of that press conference when Jerry explained, do you know how different this would be if we were needed a head coach? And I'm like, yeah.
Out of nowhere.
I know. I was like, yeah, I do know.
Out of nowhere. He was like, hey, by the way, let me throw this in there real quick.
All right. Well, this question took a hit off the presser. Overreaction or reality, the Cowboys are really going to go for it and spend money in free agency. I feel like my answer has changed as the day has gone on. I feel like that was reality. Now it's
I was in reality mode, and I understand why he's saying, "Hey, you got to know who the real free agents are going to be too."
Sure.
Like you can't say we're going to do it, guys, and then all the teams sign their guys back, and you're like, "Crap, we don't have anything to actually
do."
That's
fair.
That's a fair thing. However, I think it's pretty okay to be like, guys, we're going to go out and make sure that we get everything we need to make this a successful defense. I think that's okay to do that. I think it's an overreaction at this point, though, Kevin.
Yeah, Alec.
I wanted to believe it.
What say you? I think that's where I am, too.
Yeah, I'm with Corey. I want to believe a lot of things with this team, but I just can't at this point. Got to go with it.
Do you want to do one more?
One more. I dare you. More.
Overreaction or reality? Let's get really spicy. Overreaction or reality? Myles Garrett is the best player in football.
Ooh.
I want you to consider this real quick while you're pondering.
Sam Darnold's at the top of the...
Shut up. I know what you think. Myles Garrett got to 23 sacks and 437 snaps. You know how long it took Strahan and TJ Watt? 567 and 616 snaps. So he had 130 fewer snaps than Strahan and still broke the record. He's going to be the defensive player of the year, one would assume, for the second consecutive year. Overreaction reality, Myles Garrett is the best player in football.
Would you put Josh Allen too?
Yeah.
I think I would too. I'll take that. I think that's a reality. And how, just think of how miserable it has to be. You're basically the Angels. You have the best player in your sport, and you can't even sniff the
championship. This is very Trout Ohtani-esque.
Oh, yeah,
isn't it?
Dude. You're just basically every year, you're like, we don't even know if we can make the playoffs, guys. Sorry. Yeah.
Alec, overreaction or reality, Myles Garrett is the best player in football.
I got to go reality. I just think he's head and shoulders above everybody in at his own position. But at the same time, you talk about the athlete that he is, how consistent he is as well. Like, even on the plays that his name isn't getting called, he's still disrupting the entire offensive game plan. And that's what they were talking about coming out of the game against the Steelers a couple weeks ago, where he didn't break the record and didn't get any kind of, like, recorded stats, where they were like, they were trying so hard to stop him from making history that everybody else ruined the game for him because he didn't need to.
Kevin, from the 3-2-1. So you think Myles Garrett's better than Cam Little. I think that's a very good point. Cam
Little
has
fun part of comparing.
He has both the outdoor and indoor longest field goal records.
That's a good point.
In the history of the game.
Once Myles Garrett gets the outdoor sack record,
we'll
reconsider this. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Outdoor sack.
I'm in on that. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kings trying to snap a five-game losing skid. Into DeRozan. 3 seconds. DeRozan running three. Off the heel. And the Mavericks come back and steal one here in Sacktown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we will determine if we actually want to talk at all about basketball or getting to cheerleading. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for a chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is he today?
Amazing. Higgy, how are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Would you guys rather talk whatsoever about the Dallas Mavericks game yesterday, or would you like to jump into cheerleading?
I just want to hear all about the tales of Corey's cheerleading past.
Yeah,
how dominant
pause
he was.
Before you start talking, Corey screwed this whole thing up because instead of going to air with the mystery still intact that y'all set up with Broadus yesterday, he goes, yeah, Broadus, I never did any cheerleading or anything. We'll talk about it on air. So he knew we were going to talk about it on air, and yet undercut.
Yeah, my apologies, guys.
I'm not going to lie. I completely forgot the question was asked yesterday.
Yesterday, as I got in the truck, and I'm driving. I'm still in the parking garage, and I hear Dawson say that the microphone's too high. And I was like, well, that's because I moved it. You know, in my brain, I'm like, still in studio. I can tell him. And yeah. I raise this microphone up just a little bit. And then I think it was Dawson goes, yeah, Corey, big guy. And Eric goes, limber. And Broadus was like, limber? Oh, like, oh yeah, very flexible. Can do the splits. And, oh, yeah, that's how he met his wife. He met his wife cheerleading. They were a power couple. He was throwing her up and handing her one hand. I did do that stuff. Back in the day,
we know you did,
but I never
I've seen the videos.
Those videos are not supposed to be public.
They live on.
I was never a cheerleader. My mom was the cheerleading sponsor for my high school at one point, and for Bishop Lynch. And so I was around. They were doing stuff in our backyard all the time, and I was always around it. But
true.
I never actually did. And Adrian was a drill team, so we didn't. She was not a cheerleader.
Team. Tomato, tomato. But you guys did the talent shows together where you were flipping and throwing and all kinds of crazy stuff was going on.
We did not start actually actually becoming a couple until the last month of my senior year. So, no.
After the talent show.
I was a football player. She was my belle. And so that was how we kind of had met and stuff like that. So I'm sorry to to really burst the bubble there, Broadus. I know you went home last night and you were like, this is amazing. I didn't know all these things about Corey.
You can see it, right? Like taping up the wrists and getting out there and launching chicks into the sky.
There's no question. Yeah.
You can see that. There's no question.
Megaphone, like yelling.
Yeah, getting the people hyped, you know, with the hand clap.
Teaching them how to pinch a penny. Yeah, you put a penny between the butt cheeks and squeeze. Yes. And that's how you pinch a penny. That's what you're supposed to do when you go up in the air.
It's male cheerleading 101, man.
Yeah. You never heard that? Pinch a penny? Y'all never heard that before?
Not with the other things
you heard you when you taught your class.
There was this thing that they would pass down a little penny to the next cheerleader, their little sister or whatever. And that they would say, pinch a penny. And that was the idea was
in the cheeks.
The team, put it between the
team
cheeks.
Butt penny.
When you get thrown up in the air, you clinch. You squeeze it all together.
Toy.
Yeah. And that way, whenever you come down, you're not flailing all over the place.
Did it ever get stuck?
The penny?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was never a cheerleader, Eric, so I don't know how
but
that
But they
worked.
Told me you were yesterday.
Yeah. You were. Let's get some AI cheerleading Corey Major videos.
Bobby's probably all over that, isn't
he? I hope he is.
Bobby's probably making that happen right now.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'll be honest. As I was getting onto 75 heading north, my brain started going, oh, crap. There's going to be Texas Williams going to have my head on some cheerleader out there. So I started thinking about that.
I mean, you told me the one time you used the quarter instead of the penny, and that one definitely got caught.
That was a friend who had a quarter roll up his nose.
Okay.
That was a different story.
Separate hole.
Yeah.
A quarter went up his nose?
Yeah. He was rolling this. He was rolling quarters. He had large nostrils, and it got
evidently.
He kept rolling. He was like, Corey,
was he a hippo?
He was like, Corey, watch. And it was like third grade or something. And I was like, oh my gosh,
he had a nose that big in third grade.
And he would roll it down his desk, and it would hit his lip and roll, and it went up and got stuck. And I look over, and he's just got one side. He's just.
Oh.
And he's trying to blow this quarter out of his nose, and he had to go get it like removed by the nurse or whatever.
Oh my god!
They had to lube it up or something like that.
You know, those pliers, probably.
Yeah. It happens, dude. Yeah. I got a bead stuck up my nose when I was younger.
That's surprising. Hospital trip.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
like
sorry, you set up
ER.
Your nose, right?
Yeah. Gotcha. Up the nose.
Gotcha. Just you never know with the beads.
Well, it broadened the mind for other things.
it was sort of the...
That was your gateway?
It's the gateway.
They say the bead to the nose is a gateway to other things.
It actually was choppies, though.
Oh, Lord. How do we get away with this?
Worst things that happened to me, there was a dead cow behind our house. I was about...
Why do I believe this?
Was it like a murder or like a homicide?
Hard
like
to tell.
Elsie
I mean,
the cow?
It was fully skeletoned, you know?
Oh,
it,
wow.
It had probably been there for years.
Aliens.
Picked apart by coyotes or whatever. And so we wanted to take the teeth out. I'm not sure why exactly looking back on it. Maybe we were going to make a necklace or maybe we just wanted to see how much we could take apart. But I'm prying a cow's tooth out with like a long flathead screwdriver. It pops out and hits me right in the eye. Like direct shot.
Eye open?
Yes, and the eye was open.
So I
run in screaming. I had a patch over my eye for like 3 weeks, I think.
Did you really?
Yeah. I did some major damage that
story's got to trip people out to hear, and they're like, just say you fell down. You're like, no, I swear.
That's like when Adrian, the guy, thumbed her in the eye, and she was just like,
oh, the sleep thumb, right?
She should have had her eyes closed. It was dark.
Back to this. It was a good field, man.
What's up, man?
They found a mountain lion out there when I was about 9.
Did you ever find any airheads?
Arrowheads.
It's like the candy?
Not that I can remember.
Oh, man.
Should have looked harder.
Those are fun.
Was the mountain lion alive?
Yeah, they trapped it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were worried because it was getting too close to the neighborhood, so they trapped it. And we went out there as it was getting loaded up onto, like, the back of a truck, like an old Chevy Love or something like that, where they had the cage, you know, use some meat there.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain lion walked in. Door slammed
shut.
They got it. It was cool.
They always fall for the steak trick, dude. Every time.
Wouldn't you, man?
That's true.
Did you guys see Bo Bichette? He's getting the lifetime offer of steak in Toronto at the steakhouse.
Isn't that a no-brainer?
How can you turn that down?
How can you turn that down?
There's a great Simpsons bit where Homer's running away from angry dogs and he sees a whole bunch of hot dogs and he goes, I know what to do. These hot dogs will give me the energy I need to run away from the dogs. What did you guys think about Jerry spending, I don't know, $50,000 talking about how they'll be responsible in free agency and then in the walk-off going, oh, we're going to bust the budget.
He totally won me over, man. I think we're going all in this year.
Because hold on, that line right there.
His walk-off comment.
Okay,
right. You know, and just listen to the whole thing. I think Jerry's being held back. I think we need to let the old gambler loose. I think Steven is really being the one that's like big picture here, like, Dad, I don't know.
But in 2027.
Adam and I, we're cooking the books. I mean, I'm looking ahead. I don't want to more. Jerry's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm trying to catch Bob Kraft now for the most Super Bowls ever by an owner.
Yes.
And I got to win four more. And I don't have a long time to do it. Ooh. I think Jerry would be down to do it. But I don't know because, you know, it's a consensus. Everything's a consensus.
That's a lot of consensus.
Jerry says go. Everyone else around him says pause. And I think pause wins out.
Jerry says Tolo go.
As soon as he got away from Steven, he was like, okay, now I can tell my fibs. You know, got to be honest with there in front of my son. He's going to keep me accountable.
Steven said, I just don't want you to put anything out there that can be played over and over on radio. So I'll do it the walk-off when nobody's going to actually play the recording. They can just tweet it.
Budget busters, man.
And I did hear that reaction when he goes, he wants to catch Kraft for the most ownership Super Bowls. And Broadus goes, ooh.
I like that. And he's like, how many's Bob have? Six?
Yeah.
All right, well, I got a long way to go. Yeah, you do. But I'd love it if you were able to make it happen. I think we all would.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, will continue our reactions to the presser coming up here at the top of the hour. John Owning Pro Football Focus is going to join us at 3.
Okay, roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.